This story is true, but I've changed some of the names of people and places. Well, about 2 weeks ago, our second and final child graduated from high school. It was the usual thing. Pomp and circumstance played over and over by the marching band. Long speeches rife with cliches and metaphors. 350 names solemnly pronounced and mispronounced. And then afterwards, two family parties featuring special guest appearances by out-of-town relatives like my beloved mother-in-law. And this hoopla caused me to reminisce about my own high school graduation from St. Maybelline, a girls' Catholic high school in Los Angeles. But I have to start my story about a month before that day. So it's May of 1978, and all the plays and choral concerts are over, and my summer job hasn't started yet, so I don't have much to do after school. But then one day, Sister Malarkey, a nice little red-haired Irish nun, came with me with a wonderful proposition. She was she lived in the convent at St. Maybelline, but she taught at Our Lady of Frustration, which was a boys' boarding school for teenage boys who were considering the priesthood. And Sister Malarkey was in charge of the senior class play at Our Lady of Frustration. And she wanted to know if I would like to play, if I was available to play the only female role in that play. Why, yes, Sister, I think I am available. So the play was Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I think this might have been the first production of this musical in the United States, because that Christmas, Sister Malarkey had gone home to Ireland, and she'd heard about a brand new musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber playing in Dublin that was based on a Bible story and had many male roles, so she was interested. So she bought a ticket, and she smuggled a tape recorder into the show in the folds of her habit and recorded the whole thing. And then when she got back to the States and to Our Lady of Frustration, she gave the cassette tape to the boys, and they transcribed the entire script and score because they had a lot of time on their hands. Now, there are actually quite a few female roles in Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, like wives and daughters of the tribe of whoever, but those roles were cut out. But their one essential female role is Potiphar's wife, the beautiful temptress who tries to seduce poor, innocent Joseph and gets him in lots of trouble. And normally, girls weren't allowed on the OLF campus, but Sister Malarkey asked the principal, Father O'Grumpy, to make an exception in my case, because otherwise, well, the alternative was unthinkable, having a boy dress up as a woman. Sister Malarkey told me I didn't have to audition for the role. She had complete faith in me. But I would have to meet with Father O'Grumpy before I began rehearsing with the boys. And what for? I asked. And she said, well, he just wanted to see what kind of girl I was. So one day after school, I drove over to OLF, and it was just a few miles from my house, as a matter of fact. And I met Sister Malarkey outside of Father O'Grumpy's office. And I was very, very nervous because, you know, what were we going to talk about? What was he going to ask me? And what if I said the wrong thing? And what if I blew this golden opportunity to meet and mingle with a whole bunch of lonely teenage boys? Sister Malarkey knocks on the door and he says, come in. And we enter, and he's doing paperwork at a big wooden desk, and he's a white-haired, red-faced Irish priest, just like all the priests I knew and feared throughout my childhood. And he doesn't even look up or ask us if we want to sit down or anything, and we stand there for a minute just in silence. And then Sister Malarkey says, Father, this is the young lady I was telling you about. And he's, just a minute, and he keeps writing. I'm very nervous. And then he looks up, and I give him an anxious smile, and he says, she's all right. And then he looks down and continues his paperwork. And she says, thank you, Father. And then she hustles me out the door. And I said, and she says, let's go meet the boys. And I said, I say, well, I don't get it. What's going on? I thought there was going to be like an interview or something. And she says, oh no, he just wanted to get a look at you. And then it hit me. Father O'Grumpy wanted to be sure I wasn't attractive enough to ruin the vocations of these boys. And it had only taken him 2 seconds to decide that I wouldn't. And then Sister Malarkey hadn't chosen me because I was the most talented girl at St. Maybelline, but because among the talented girls, I was the one least likely to make a boy think twice about a life of celibacy. But I didn't have much time to feel mortified because very soon we were at the auditorium and she was opening the door and saying, well, here she is, boys. And I walked in and I was immediately surrounded by 18 smiling faces, many of them very handsome. And they looked at me with absolute adoration, like I was Farrah Fawcett, like I was all three Charlie's Angels. And thus began the most wonderful month of my life up until that point. And the rehearsals were an absolute blast. And the boys were so much fun, and they were so nice, and they all wanted to talk to me. And now the play didn't turn out very well, and I was just awful as Potiphar's wife. I wasn't the least bit seductive, and Sister Malarkey was not about to help me out with my characterization. But really, who cares about the play? I now had 18 male admirers, and a couple of them called me at my house every night. And on the weekends, they came over to my house and swam and hung out. And then their graduation rolled around. I attended their graduation and all their parties, you know, after the graduation. And then my graduation rolled around, and I couldn't invite them because our St. Maybelline, there was only 150 girls in the graduating class, but the ceremony was held on the Virgin Mary lawn, which wasn't very big. And so each girl was limited to like 10 guests. And St. Maybelline had some cherished traditions, one of them being the graduating girls did not wear a cap and gown. We wore long, white, very modest dresses and white gloves, and we carried bouquets of long-stemmed yellow roses, and it was all very solemn. There were prayers and hymns, and a cardinal or bishop or someone would come and make a speech and hand out our diplomas. And as each girl's name was read, there'd be a smattering of applause, and then a dad would pop up, you know, and snap a photo. And then when my name was read, Jean Marie Helmick, there was this burst of cheers and whistles, and I looked around, and there were the boys standing in the back, all dressed up in suits and ties and waving at me, and I could not have been more thrilled or surprised. And so afterwards, I asked my mother if they could come to our family party, and she panicked, of course, suddenly having to feed 18 teenage boys, but she pulled it off. And so we went back to my house, and the boys had brought a tape of our show, and they popped it in my father's cassette recorder, and we performed the whole musical in our backyard. And it was just the greatest night, the greatest night. And so when I think about my son's graduation weekend, I'm sorry that it's not memorable, you know, like mine was, but really there's no chance of it being as memorable. But you might be wondering what became of those boys. I stayed in touch with several of them for years through college and beyond, and only one of them ended up becoming a priest. And it was the cutest one, the kind of surfer looking one, and the one my sister called the hunk monk. But I cannot be held responsible for ruining the vocations of the other 17 boys because I never even kissed any of them. Thank you.